This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Tiki and Tierney on The Fan. Tiki Barber.
Got the first down to the 10, to the 5, fighting! Touchdown, Tiki!
Brandon Tierney.
It's 2022. Harold Baines was a good baseball player. I watched Harold Baines' entire career. There's no way that guy's a Hall of Famer.
Tiki and Tierney on The Fan, 101.9 FM and the Odyssey app.
All righty, we got an issue here. We officially have a problem with the New York Knicks. We got a problem. We've got actually three problems here, Tiki. Number one, and this is the biggest problem, they're not very good. Number two, and this is obviously a byproduct of number one, they're not very consistent. And maybe most, or as distressing, this is more of an emotional thing, the New York Knicks are really not very likable anymore.
What do you mean not by likable?
Not where we dislike them. But the bloom's officially off the rose from last year. It's over. It's over. It's time to deal with reality. You've got about 13, 14 days to get this thing right. You got to make trades, blow apart the roster. This team is going nowhere.
Look, they're unlikable because they make mistakes at the most inopportune times. And whether it was Julius Randle getting ripped and taking the ball stolen away from him and going the other way, when he's just standing there trying to back into the paint from 15 feet away, or it's untimely misses, it's poor defense. Mitchell Robinson's fifth foul was just utterly pointless. And all of a sudden, you got to throw in Taj Gibson. They both end up fouling out, trying to be tough on Carl Anthony Towns. Mm-hmm. Carl Anthony Towns actually took it to him the entire night.
Future Nick.
I mean, it's a poorly constructed team because guys who shouldn't be handling the ball are handling the ball way too much.
You're right. I mean, because there's no pure point guard. And listen, we all love Derrick Rose, but that's a Band-Aid. And obviously Derrick Rose is
hurt.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But even when he's healthy, it's a Band-Aid.
Well, Kimba's actually really good at it. The problem is before Christmas, you play Kimba 40 minutes a game, 3 games in a row, and he misses 9 games.
But you got to know what you were getting, and his medical history was very well chronicled. That knee was an issue.
Yeah.
And now it's not a lot. You know what I mean? It's not a lot of money, so it's not like it's impossible to get away from.
But I don't care about the money. I care about the production.
I care
about the availability.
That's true. No, right. that is the most important thing. I only say that because in a salary cap, you know what it is? I always feel compelled because for the last 20 years, the Knicks have been outside of, you know, one or two good years, last year being one of the two. They've brought us on this ridiculous ride of finances where it's almost like not only do we have to dissect the roster, but we've got to make sure that the finances are in order because they're always distorted and they haven't been. And that's why I make sure I point that out. I'm not trying to get on the air and saying, you know, oh, this is the end of the world. The Knicks have no shot. Get rid of this. No, I'm not saying to fire anybody. What I am saying is this team is no longer. Listen, I still watch every game, but you know that. But, man, last year I couldn't wait to watch these kids. They were playing with purpose, with pride, with moxie, with resilience. And now, and this last night, this is why I'm so bothered by last night. They played horrendously the day before against the Hornets without Ball.
Mm-hmm.
On Martin Luther King Day, everybody plays Martin Luther King Day games now. Knicks played, you know, going back to 1990 when I was there at the Trent Tucker game, which I told you. So there's got to be a modicum of pride associated with that game. Not to mention a team that you probably have to beat if you want to avoid the play-in or even get to the play-in. I know Hornets are good,
mm-hmm.
but without Ball, win the game. They get drilled. They play horrible. They just lackluster. They just sleepwalk through the game. And then I said, okay, that happens every couple of games in the in the 82-game slate. That is the NBA. But if this team had any hope, last night they would have come out, they would have jumped on the T-Wolves, who are a little talented, but young, on the road. Instead, they get smacked around in the first half. They need to score 40 points when the T-Wolves become disinterested in the third quarter, and they whittle away the score. And then, of course, once the game is tied and they're right there, then they start throwing the ball away like a hot potato, missing free throws and missing a wide-open three by Burks, who would have won it. And, you know, the first half, 13 turnovers. They're just... You have to listen. We always say, Tiki, when somebody tells you or shows you who they are, believe them.
Yeah.
Don't try to interpret or read the leaves or creatively reevaluate who they are. The Knicks are going nowhere, so act now.
Yeah, you have to act now. And BT, you and I were looking at the potential trades. There's only one that really makes sense, and that's Ben Simmons.
I think there's two.
You got Ben Simmons, who has been a malcontent down in Philadelphia, hasn't played at all this season. Yes, I know he's got his shooting woes, but I think if he can be the ball handler, and I keep coming back to that because of all of the turnovers that we saw in this game, especially in the first half, BT, and I see Julius Randle bringing the ball up the court consistently. He gets up. He doesn't know what he's.
I'm so tired.
He doesn't know what to do when he's up. When he gets the ball, you know, when he gets into the half court, and so he ends up just pounding it into the ground, just over and over. All right, maybe I'll give this up. You know, give it back to me. And then he doesn't know what to do, right? So they need ball handlers, and that's why, you know, a point guard, even one who doesn't shoot, is necessary. By the way, you're going to get great defense with Ben Simmons as well. The other options aren't great. Caris LeVert, he's available potentially for the Pacers.
Yep.
He's very, very inefficient. He doesn't make much sense. Eric Gordon, he's more just a shooter, just a spot up at this point. He's 33 years old. There's just not a ton of other options out there.
I hear you.
And the one that makes an unbelievable amount of sense is Ben Simmons. Now, the question is, what's Daryl Morey going to ask for Ben Simmons?
Yep.
But if I'm the Knicks, I need to find a way to get a ball handler. He seems the most available.
Yeah, one. I'm making the call, dude. And by the way, if they haven't made the call, then something's wrong. That call should have been made already, at least a cursory level conversation. Kick the tires. So, listen, I don't know what to tell you here at 877-337-6666. We all want, outside of the Net fans, we all want the Knicks to do well. We want the Knicks to flourish, and we wanted the Knicks to take the logical next step, even though many of us knew that last year was certainly a bit of an overachievement. And while it was a galvanizing ride, we couldn't really base our future expectations on a 72-game COVID pandemic-driven season where everything went right. But here's the other end of the equation. Like, and I want to get on Fibs for a moment here. All right, now, you and I were talking before the show. We understand, and this applies to Joe Judge as well, because the GM did a horrendous job, and he's now gone.
Yep.
Because Gettleman was awful at his job, and Reese was awful at his job at the end, outside of, you know, very good start for Reese, but then he was bad. All of the Giant coaches were dealt, you know, bad cards, and he tried to play poker, and, you know, this guy's got pocket aces, this guy's got a couple of queens. The Giants, and really the Jets, have had like an unsuited 3-8.
Yeah.
Good luck with that. You know, maybe you pull a 5-6-7 and you give yourself a chance to win. No, you're not going to win too many hands that way. So I get it. You can only coach what you have, but one colossal mistake that Tom Thibodeau's done this year, and I've not said this yet, but I cannot emphasize this enough. He has treated an intermittently good player like a superstar, and that's Julius Randle. Because of the way Randle played last year, which is the complete outlier to his career, we know this by now, it's a complete anomaly, he has given him this latitude, this freedom to work through these nightly, you know, 2-3-4 minute stenches where he's completely invisible and disinterested and lazy. You got to sit his ass on the bench.
Yeah.
That's what Tom Thibodeau's got to do. Sit down, okay? You're not playing 40 minutes because you're dragging your behind up and down the court and you're dribbling aimlessly into a double team. Sit down. Toppin, you're playing 30 minutes. I don't care what you did last year, Randle. We love what you did, but this is a new year, and you ain't bringing it. Sit down.
Yeah, the challenge.
And he doesn't do it.
Well, he doesn't do it because he doesn't trust Obi Toppin.
Well, then that's on Thibs. Then I got a real problem with
He doesn't trust Obi Toppin to be defensively sound.
Coach him up. You're a great defensive coach.
I don't disagree.
The guy runs, and he jumps out of the gym. Coach him up.
And by the way, he's not going to get defensively sound if he doesn't know how to get defensively sound.
That's true.
By doing it, making mistakes. mistakes and then being corrected on it. And so he plays Julius Randle. Julius Randle, look, it was I think it was in the third, maybe it was in the fourth, where he got stolen. He got Patrick Beverley stole it from him.
He stripped him at top.
Yeah, but he chased it down and he blocked it at the other side. It was like, all right, that's the play.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, don't lose it in the first place, right?
Correct.
Know your limitations. And I think that's where you get frustrated with Julius Randle and what Tom Thibodeau allows him to get away with. Now, Obi Toppin is, again, we talked about him yesterday, BT, but he's not a great shooter, right? He's not going to be a spot-up guy for you. So you got to put him down in the post, and you got to play a different style of offense, which I don't know if they're comfortable with.
It's called the pick and roll.
I agree, but I mean—
get him away from the corner.
In order to run the pick and roll, you got to have a great ball-handling point guard.
Which is why he plays well with Derrick Rose.
That's exactly
right.
No,
I get it.
And Kemba Walker, I mean— I'm assuming Tibbs is not going to make the same mistake and play him 40-something minutes a game. So he played 30 minutes last night. But when he comes off the court, who's handling the ball?
I hear you.
Right? So you can talk about all these things.
Give it to McBride.
And you realize how poorly constructed the playing roster is. Now, you mentioned McBride. I don't know. I haven't seen him enough.
I know he plays defense, because if you don't play defense, you ain't playing for Bobby Huggins out there in West Virginia.
That's a good point, but we haven't seen him enough.
Well, maybe I want to see him. I want to see him. We've seen him in little spurts. And I like what I've seen. We've seen from Grimes.
What do you want from the Knicks this year?
Do you want the postseason?
Here's what I want. Do you want competence?
Okay.
Or do you want consistency?
Can I be a little greedy and for once have competence? And like last year, will I get competence and the postseason? You know what? That's a great question. Let me dial it down for 2 seconds. Let me actually think about that before I just blurt something out. So my partner just asked me, and we'll ask you by extension, what do you want from the Knicks? 877-337-6666. What I want from the Knicks, okay? Like, I can sit here and I can, I want the playoff. No, you know what? It's so much more beyond that. I want to know that at the end of this season, that the future is set up in a way that is sustainable and less reliant on Band-Aids and stopgaps. And those Band-Aids and stopgaps are Kemba Walker, mm-hmm. Alec Burks, Taj Gibson, who I respect.
Yeah.
Respect him a ton. I mean, I respect all those guys.
Of course you do. Evan Fournier.
Yeah, I don't need Fournier to go. I need Fournier to play he started to play a little bit more. I'm not looking to get rid of Fournier. If you get rid of him in a trade, that's fine. But like the over reliance on guys who are not going to be here in a year or whenever the Knicks actually take that next step, that is what I want from this season. That's what I want. And, you know, here's the other conundrum here. We get back to our boy R.J. Barrett, whom we unlocked, and we might have to get it. We'd have to unlock him again. Last night, okay, is the kind of game from R.J. Barrett that really gives you pause, really makes you wonder. As much as we were loving this ride since we unlocked him, right? Last night, free throws, 50%, 3 mm-hmm. out of 6. Overall, 6 out of 16, awful. Couple of air balls. From downtown, 2 out of 7, horrendous.
Yep.
7 turnovers. You know, just didn't look like a great athlete. Got rejected at the rim a few times. Like, that's as much as I really like R.J. Barrett. I do go back and forth a little bit. Like, that's the kind of game that makes me worry.
R.J. Barrett, though, I can forgive because he's 21 years old. And he's just learning how to be a reliable star. Not a superstar. He's just he's learning right now how to be a reliable star and realize that you're going to have some bad nights here and there.
Mm-hmm.
But it can't be that bad.
I'm okay with bad nights, bad shooting nights, even a little sloppy with the ball. I get that. But again, maybe I needed to be more specific. There are still alarming athletic deficiencies from R.J. Barrett, even on good nights.
Yeah, there was in the first half, he had a fast break-ish opportunity. He picked it up, got some urgency, went towards the hoop, took two steps, got lost, charge.
Yeah.
Turnover.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just didn't know.
Not very fast.
He didn't know what he wanted to do mm-hmm. in that moment,
yeah.
and he got an offensive foul.
Yeah, it's over. I mean, we can drag this thing on into February. Hey, you know, maybe the Knicks can recapture. They're going to recapture nothing. Because now they've got a West Coast trip.
Not
without changing the roster. All right, let's hear from you. What do you think? And Tiki asked a very simple but a very important question. What do you really – and this has proven very evasive. I don't know that we've ever gotten the – I gave you my answer. Mm-hmm. I want direct – I want direct knowledge in terms of what the future will look like next year. But I don't know that that question's ever been boiled down to its simplest form. That's a good way to ask it. We always talk about this, talk around it. But what do we want from these Knicks? Let's hear from Jeff and Patterson up first on The Fan. Jeff, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, first time, long time.
Appreciate you, man.
Why don't the Knicks just run pick and roll in the end of the game? It don't make sense.
Yeah, because they don't have a point. They don't have a ball handler that you can trust to not make the mistake. You know what I mean? And that's kind of what we've been getting at. Is the point? Derrick Rose is great. He's not available.
He's also 33.
And he's 33, right? Kemba Walker is great, but you can only play him 35 minutes or so. So yeah.
I'm talking about the end of the game, though. Set the pick and roll up. You got Fournier in the corner. Don't put the ball in Barrett's hand. That's the last thing you should do.
Yeah.
He's like an accident waiting to happen. I mean, just put him in the corner.
But who are you rolling? But Jeff, who's rolling for you? Like last night, I mean, Mitchell Robinson fouled out.
I was going to say, yeah.
Obi Toppin, they don't want to give him any minutes. Todd Gibson is way too old to do that. So who are you rolling with?
I don't know, because Mitchell Robinson looks like he's out of gas after the first quarter.
You know, yeah. Jeff, it's funny you say that. And listen, Mitchell Robinson's played well this year, very well. He looks like he's going to, God forbid, drop dead from exhaustion after one trip up the court. Like he's grabbing his shorts.
But
he looks like he's so out of shape.
But he was working, though. He was working against Cat. Now, by the way, Karl Anthony Towns is a heavy man.
Yes, he is.
He's not a skinny big who can knock down three-pointers if you give him space. He is a heavy dude who wants to get into the post and shake you up, bang into you. And Mitchell Robinson weighs, 205 pounds?
No, more than that. There's a disparity there, for sure.
It's at least a 20-pound, maybe 30-pound weight difference between those guys.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was just he was trying, man.
But every night he looks exhausted.
I know, but
and
I'm
every
just
night
saying,
usually
I'm
plays well, saying, but it's an interesting observation.
Last night in particular, you could tell he was trying to work his ass off.
Oh, I'm going
to
give him a pass. Karl Anthony is an all-star, like a That's legitimate right. all-star. 877-337-6666. So, Teak wants the Ben Simmons angle, or at least wants to explore it. I'm okay with that conversation. I got a better name for you, though. I'll lay it on you coming up next, and we'll continue asking the question, what do we want from these Knicks? Boil it down. Listen, don't call us up and say, don't regurgitate what we already know. All right, let's at least push it forward here. We know what they have. I think maybe more specifically, Teak, we know what they don't have. And I really do think, I think we need to explore more thoroughly. We have to get into the coach. You know, you could have a conversation about a coach without, being over the top and saying he's got to be fired. I'm certainly not saying that. But Tom Thibodeau has not done a good job this year. And I think he needs to be a central part of the conversation. Tiki and Tierney up until 2.
The Fan is on your smart speaker. To listen to the home of New York sports, just say, hey, Siri, play WFAN.
All righty, Tiki and Tierney on The Fan, 1027 here. All day, just getting rolling up until 2. That it's Carton and Roberts. By the way, what in the world were they talking about? Some of the things they pull poor Recco into. Boner pills? 877-337-6666. Congrats to Jerry. Won the, New Jersey State Broadcaster of the... I think he's got to share with somebody.
Does he really?
Yeah, that's what they were saying.
That's all good. All congrats, Rick.
Yeah, no doubt. We love Rick. This Knicks stuff is annoying. Tiki hit beyond. Tiki brought up the Ben Simmons angle. You know, some of the other names, Sabonis from the Pacers. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
LeVert doesn't shoot well. Miles Turner hurt now with the stress fracture. John Wall, Eric Gordon. I'm just throwing names out. De'Aaron Fox. But, you know, some of these names like Gordon, who's 33, John Wall, those names would have been better last year.
Yeah, I hear you.
To bring those cats in now does nothing for the future, which is what I'm all about.
And the money, especially with John Wall,
yes.
if it doesn't get bought out, which is not going to happen at this point, doesn't make any sense for the Knicks right now.
Yep, and my biggest issue is that with Thibs, who has not done a good job this year, the head coach of the Knicks, he has treated Randall like a superstar, and he is not a superstar. I believe you pronounce it Bermel in Hempstead. Did I say your name right? How you doing today?
Hey, what's up? It's Bermel. You could just call me B.
I got
B,
you, B.
What up, Bermel?
Hey, so I just got 3 points, and it's all four, I'll be quick.
Go ahead.
One on Thibs. One on Simmons.
Yeah, just hit him. What do you got? Go for it.
Okay. So for Tom Thibodeau, this is not the team that he wanted. The front office didn't support him. So I can't really be mad at him.
Okay.
He wanted to keep Reggie Bullock. That was a fact. That's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want Evan Fournier. He definitely didn't want Kemba Walker. Now, for Ben Simmons, That's his type of point guard. That's Tibbs' type of point guard.
Yep.
Can he shoot? No. But the man is 6'10 and can get to the hole at will and is in a, and has the IQ, has a better IQ than Julius Randle, who is a power forward that thinks that he could, that he could dribble like Kyrie Irving.
Okay. What's your third?
He can't.
No, absolutely.
So this is where the front office messed up at. While they've made some great moves, they've also made some horrible moves. In the draft, the Warriors had the second pick. They told the Knicks, we'll give you our second pick for your two first rounders and Mitchell Robinson. And who could we have gotten? LaMelo freaking Ball, a point guard that is 6'7", that can distribute the ball. So now what you got to do is, while I love what Julius has done for us, it's time for Julius to go. Can you imagine Ben Simmons, Obi Toppin, RJ Barrett, and Emmanuel Quickly?
Let's go.
That is fast break sweaty. That is fast break city.
B, let's do it. I'm in. Toppin, make the call.
You get Obi and Ben Simmons on a fast break.
Make the call.
Point guard.
Make it.
Oh, my God.
Let's go. Make the call. Done. I'm sold.
And you got D. And Ben Simmons plays defense,
as well.
Which
Correct.
Is exactly what Tom Thibodeau wants.
Which is why I said yesterday on the show.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Joe, I think, and I know that he is reluctant to speak. He's more of a behind-the-scenes guy, and I certainly respect that. But I'd like to hear at some point from Leon Rose and what his vision is for this team moving forward. You know, the one thing that he said about Bullock, I like Bullock, good shooter, you know, good presence, good defender. But, I mean, if the season's gone awry because we lost Reggie Bullock, then this team was incredibly fragile to begin with. Let's not...
I think that was just... He was just stating that this front office hasn't done what Tibbs would have wanted.
Yeah, I mean...
As far as roster construction.
There's partial truth to that for sure. East Brunswick, New Jersey, Bob is on the fan. Bobby, what's going on?
How you doing, guys? Great show.
Thanks, Bob. What's up?
You complete that Knick team, I'd like to see Carl Anthony Towns. Then you got a playoffs team.
Bring them all, him and Simmons. Let's go. I'll trade Clyde Frazier. I'll even trade Mike Breen.
No, don't be sarcastic. Nah, just don't you think Carl Anthony would be great for them if they could get him?
Bob, 100%, Bob. Yeah, I'm teasing you, man.
Yeah.
I love Carl Anthony Towns. Yes.
By the way, I played point guard on Billy Cunningham's team in Erasmus.
Erasmus. My dad went to New Utrecht.
Okay, but Furman was there.
He used to carve you guys up. He said, Bob in East Brunswick? Oh, I used to post him up, and I used to rock his world. Ooh, that's what he told me.
No, he's not about his dad.
I'm talking about you.
Furman was as good as his team. They just fed him the ball for layups all day long.
You know what's funny? Bob, thanks for the call. I heard about Billy Cunningham from my dad from the time I was 7. He was an absolute star at Erasmus. Derek is in Staten Island. Derek, you're on the fan. What up?
Hey, nice to talk to you.
Likewise.
I got a Julius Randle comment, but I just want to mention the guy wants Ben Simmons. Why would you want a guy that didn't, that is totally healthy, but hasn't played a game this year?
Yeah.
How do you explain that? You want that here? No way.
Well,
I don't understand.
I think it's a Philly thing, and it's a organizational thing. It's a front office to head coach to teammate thing with Ben Simmons. I mean, this thing deteriorated. I don't think it has anything to do with, you know, him wanting and not wanting to play. I think he just doesn't want to play in that organization. Period. And he's taking a hard line on it. And he's probably wrong because of the contract that he signed last year. But he's trying to do it. James Harden did, or some of these other guys who want out. What Anthony Davis did with the Pelicans, he wants out, and so he's trying to force their hand. It's just not going the right way for him.
Yeah, I understand. I just don't want him here anyway. Julius Randle, Julius Randle, right?
Yeah.
You're noticing he's passing an awful lot, and how is it that the whole league is playing them great defense now? The whole league. Last year, he was so efficient.
Yeah.
The fadeaway was unstoppable. To this year, he can't even get enough space. You ever noticed that?
I do, and I'm going to tell you what I think the problem is. Thanks for the call there, Derek. I think he's become very predictable in his offensive repertoire.
Well, because he's limited in his offensive repertoire with the ball in his hands.
But last year, I think he came back with – he expanded his game. He diversified his approach.
Yeah, but nobody had seen it.
I'm answering Derek's question.
I hear you.
That's what I mean. And then now that it's on film for a year, they've been able to react to it. It's the same pump fake, same predictable movement, same spots.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, and you see what happened last night. He gets the ball and you know, out – right near the post, he gets doubled immediately.
Mm-hmm.
He tries to keep putting the ball on the court.
Turns to the middle of the paint.
That's right. It's like you know exactly what he's going to do.
Yeah,
and it's why he got ripped a couple times last night.
You know, Hoff, do me a favor. I need. Can you call? See if you can get CeCe back on the phone or Deal or one of these pro athletes. If only I worked with a pro athlete. Oh, Tiki. Question for you, Tiki.
What's up?
And this is really important because I do disagree a little bit with you, but you can answer this. I can't. I can guess, but you actually live. It, especially with the fumbles, okay? When when the mind becomes a big part of the equation for you.
Yeah. Self-fulfilling prophecy type thing?
Kind of, yeah.
You. Well, that's real.
I think people will really enjoy this, and I'm curious how you answer this. About Ben Simmons, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Use the term disgruntled. He's definitely disgruntled and disillusioned with the team, and no doubt, nobody's gonna fight that. But unlike Anthony Davis with the Pelicans and others who have forced their way out of situations, they weren't terrified to perform.
Yes.
Okay. So not only is he unhappy, but there is a deep, dark hole in his confidence. As a pro athlete, without having gotten back on the court yet to actually address what has destroyed his game, how do you know what the hell you're trading for?
You don't. Unless he has been putting in an unbelievable amount of work to correct those things, which I have no idea. Like, he could tell us that he was, but I have no idea. You know this because I've told you the story about how I corrected the fumbling issues that I had early in my career. It was an off season of nonstop holding a football high and tight. And when I mean nonstop, I'm sitting in a meeting, I have the ball high and tight. We have to run our conditioning test on a treadmill, I have the ball high and tight. We go out on the field for whatever work, I have the ball high and tight. It was always there.
Tiki's in the shower, he's holding it high and tight.
You're joking, but not really. I mean, seriously.
Like the movie The Program, we referenced that the other day.
It really was a mindset that made me physically and mechanically change how I thought about holding a football.
Okay.
But I put in that work. I could have told everybody I was doing that work. And then I went out on Sundays and started fumbling again. People were like, yeah, whatever. I have no idea what Ben Simmons has been doing.
But is there an automatic transfer for all the work that you did when nobody was watching? Did you feel immediately comfortable in the games?
Absolutely.
Oh, you did?
100%.
Okay, I would think 100%. It would be very different, but I wouldn't. I didn't live this.
100%.
When there's 80,000 people, it's the same.
It felt like...
Natural?
No, not natural, but it felt intentional.
Right,
you hear me use the word intentional a lot when I talk about success. It felt intentional. Like, I knew what I was doing. I wasn't not thinking about it. I was constantly thinking about it. And so Ben Simmons, it's a different situation for him because as a basketball player, a shooter, a scorer, much like a golfer, you can't think about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you have to just do it. You can't think about it. I'm not actually performing an action trying to hold on to a football. I'm just locking in mechanically. Right, but if I had to throw a football and try to, it'd be different. You know
what
I mean?
Okay.
It's a little bit different for Ben Simmons.
Good stuff. 877-337-6666 on Twitter at Tiki and Tierney. Hoff, is the Twitch up? The Twitch. I sounded like I was 90. The Twitch.
Jeez. Yeah, you can find us on the Twitter as well, or the Facebook.
Or maybe even the MySpace. What is it? twitch.com/WFAN if you guys want to watch us. All right, so we'll go a little bit more with this. What is the solution? You know, would you roll the dice on giving a lot up for Simmons, not knowing where he is? Tiki put the work in. He went from a guy who was putting it on the turf to a superstar. That doesn't mean that Ben Simmons is going to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that. What do you think? 877-337-6666. Tiki and Tierney on the Fan. All right, Tiki and Tierney on the Fan. 877-337-6666. Can I just, I don't want to derail the show here, but this annoys me. You know, and this is really symbolic of nothing. I don't even really need to bring this up on the air. But
but you are anyways.
I'm going to.
Go ahead.
So, and I'm happy he played well the other night. You know, Odell Beckham. So he tweets this out last night, or yesterday. Just wanted to take a moment to thank the man above. I don't know. Isn't that kind of what you do when you pray to yourself?
Yeah, of course
like
it is.
Like, letting people know that you're praying to God is the height of taking yourself way too seriously.
Well, he
man.
Also got a $500,000 bonus
right.
for the playoff win. I just heard that in Boomer's Sports Minute.
So okay.
Maybe he's saying thank you for
get down on bended knee and do it before you go to bed and do it in church.
You think he's tithing? You think he's tithing his 10%?
I don't know what he's doing. Now, if he gives me 10%, I'll glorify him for thanking God on the air. I don't care. You know, I'll say anything if he gives me 10%. Listen, we said this the other day. We're going to get back to these calls in a moment about the Knicks who are pretty much done this year. They're going nowhere. But we said last week we wanted to bring in some of the older voices, pay homage to some of the great foundational piece of this amazing station, this amazing brand that is WFAN. And we had, it's our way of, you know, getting ourselves out of the chute, but also acknowledging, you know, this is certainly the station that I grew up with. And Tiki was on it all the time as a player when he and Francesca used to battle. Now you boys, you own a horse with Mike. Anyway, so we had Joe B on last week, and Joe Beningo was great. Today, actually my old partner from a different lifetime, Jody Mack. Now, I'll say this about Jody. Evan's in this category. But I don't know I don't think Evan knows horse racing. I don't know if there's anybody, I think I mean this. Dove, I want you to weigh in quick. Just don't bog the show down like you usually do.
Thanks.
I don't know that there's anybody out there that does this for a living that can hit all the four majors.
100%.
Wrestling, horse racing, like golf, like Jody knows a little bit or in some cases a lot about a lot.
Yes, 100%.
Yep. And I know you don't know this. Jody Mack's dad used to be the GM of the Mets.
Get out of here.
I swear to God, back in the day.
Well, that's why he knows all this stuff.
So fun conversation coming up with the Mack man a little bit later. Also, what will the 2022 Yankees look like lineup-wise? We got Sweeney Murdy coming on later. So we're digging into some of the old names here at the station. Let's get Matt, who is in New City. And Matt is on the Fan with Tiki and Tierney. Matt.
What's going on, guys? So I'm not, you know, I know you got a lot of calls about roster, you know, moves and everything. But my point quick with Tibbs, because he gave him a lot of praise last year, don't the Knicks always look very unprepared coming out of timeouts at the end of a game? They always seem like they inbound the ball, Randall gets it and panics, and it's like a last-ditch awful shot.
Yes.
They never have a nice fluid play off a timeout.
And
never.
You know what? But, Matt, you know why? Because they don't really have a pure point guard.
I
know what you're getting at. Is it what's written up in the huddle by Thibs? And that's partially it. I'm with you. But when you don't have a real point guard to execute the offense, it's going to look stagnated and sloppy.
Let me ask you guys. I agree. I'm thinking, you know, we don't exactly have Chris Paul running the show here. But if you guys... Who do you think you realistically would have to give up to get Simmons? Because if you have to give up multiple picks and Toppin and, you know, maybe Grimes, do you really think this team is that much better losing all those guys and then adding Simmons?
Probably not, to your point. Probably not. And especially given what the 76ers and Daryl Morey have said they want.
Well, I mean, they can say whatever they want. They ain't getting it.
Yeah, but otherwise he's just going to sit and not do anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and ultimately they'll I don't know, you're not going to lose him because he's still under contract for another 3 years. But I just feel this thing getting really ugly down in Philadelphia, especially if they keep falling short. Right,
yeah.
They're actually playing really well
right now. Well.
But if they get to the postseason, the second season, and it's a disaster, and they never reach the potential that they all know that they have down in Philadelphia, you can't just sit on Ben Simmons.
No.
And so ultimately, that price comes down. The question is, who's going to wait for it to come down? And again, I think he's right. It's probably not worth it, right now, but
who did he say again? So I'm not sure I agree. It might be worth it.
Mitchell, draft picks.
Okay, draft picks, whatever.
Yeah, obviously.
We've had a billion draft picks. We've hit on basically
Mitchell,
nobody.
Exactly. Mitchell Robinson or
right,
Toppin.
All right, Mitch, Toppin. Is that it? And Randall, or is that it?
No, there was a – forget the other one he said.
Okay, would I roll the – would I give up – first of all, the money doesn't work there, so you'd have to give up probably Alec Burks. You know, he's making whatever, 11, 12, whatever. It's $10 million.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a Noel just to make the money match. Draft picks and the meat of the deal being Mitchell Robinson and Toppin, I would do that. I would do that because, first of all, at the bare minimum, you're getting an all-world defender that can defend any position on the court, number one.
True.
And you kind of start there.
And he's a really good ball handler.
Yes.
And a facilitator. And a facilitator.
Yes, he
is. He just doesn't want to shoot, but that's okay.
Uh-huh. Let's go to Fort Lee, New Jersey. Mitchell is on the Fan with Tiki and Tierney. Mitch.
Hey, guys. How you guys doing today?
We're good, Mitch. What you got?
Okay. Talking about the Knicks here, I disagree with going for Simmons for two parts. This reminds me of when we need a point, we need a person to bring in, but then you're going to trade away all these picks and everything else. Build what you're building and go through the draft and build it up that way. Remember when we did Carmelo Anthony? We gave away everything.
Mm-hmm.
And to give it away now, when the Knicks look, you know, there's pieces that the Knicks need. The number one thing they need is they need a point guard. That's definitely for sure. And they need a shooting. They need a good power forward. But to give up all these players and draft picks, I just don't feel it. Let's do it the right way. I'll use this example.
Well,
very simple.
Well, hold on. Let me interrupt you, Mitch. What do you think the Knicks can become with what they have? What they currently have, what can they become? Right? A first round, second round team? I mean, what can they
the
become?
That's the question. You're right.
And I just don't think it's anything more than maybe they get past the first round.
They're not getting past the first round. Mitch, what do you think?
I'm not talking about this year. I'm talking about like in the next 3 or 4 years.
Oh, jeez.
As they're currently constructed and trying to build it through the draft.
Unless Barrett became an all-star. That would change my ceiling.
Yeah, but.
Like a real all-star.
Okay, but then.
Which I wouldn't bet on.
But then Derrick Rose is gone. He's
true,
retired.
True.
Certainly.
Yeah, but maybe Grimes or McBride is a real.
Maybe.
But maybe get Jalen Brunson. I mean,
maybe.
There's a lot of it. But go ahead, answer the question, Mitch. What do you see as the ceiling for this team?
I don't see, but the truth is, the only way the ceiling to do it is, like you said, Barrett has to go another step up. Look where Barrett's been the last 2 years. Look what he's made now. They still need that all-star player and free agent. They can pull a free agent, a top player, and then go through the draft 2 years. They'll have a chance. But if you're going to do it this way, you're doing the same thing. You're turning back the clock. What the organization did. They want to go through the draft, and I'll use it this way. The same way that we talked about the Giants, everyone keeps talking about it. Build through the draft and build up to when you're ready to do it. If you do it this way, you're just going back 10 feet.
Mitch, fundamentally, I'm kind of with you, but it is a little different in the NBA where if you get that one foundational piece, mm-hmm. one disgruntled star, and I hear you on the Melo stuff, take Wilson Chandler, take Danilo. It really stripped all the assets away. I get that, and that is we lived through that. You
yeah.
are right. But the NBA, you can accelerate a rebuild. You get the right guy. Somebody who's 26 years old who's not happy, you get that guy. Things change quick. They just do. Let's go to Pine Bush, New York. Cody is on the Fan. What up, Cody?
Much, boys. How you doing? Hey.
Good, Cody.
So, I mean, Randall led the team in minutes last night, 39 minutes or so, and you know, Barrett was off last night, shooting only about 37%.
Yep.
I get the whole thing. You know, Randall, it was like a contract year, just like a guy in football, you know, ends up on the defensive line, ends up having 4 sacks throughout 3 years, then his fourth year coming up out of college and stuff, and he, you know, his fourth year on his deal, he's, you know, going lights out, he's got 10, 12 sacks. And then he goes right back to square one. I feel like that's where we are with Randall. I don't think the Ben Simmons deal would be smart because I do not think that he is mentally prepared for New York City. He's having the issues in Philly.
Yeah,
and
but
not
I think Philly. I think Philly is less about the fans, even though it now has become about the fans. I think it was because it was Doc Rivers, like Doc. Inadvertently, maybe, or maybe intentionally. Ooh. I don't know. Whatever it was, Doc Rivers basically made it acrimonious. Like mm-hmm. you can deal with the fans. Like you can deal with hearing boos as long as you go and you ball. But as soon as when your coach is telling you, "Hey, I don't know if I can win with you."
Yeah, they asked him that after the series.
And your teammates are kind of quiet on it. It just deteriorated internally, I think, in for Ben Simmons in Philly much less externally. Now, the Philadelphia fans, as Philadelphia fans are wont to do, jumped on board. Yeah. Like, get the hell out of here. We don't want you anymore. But I don't know if that was all Philly fans.
I think they jumped on board, like, get the hell out of here, because he pretty much voiced his opinion that I don't want to play with you guys.
Yes, that's right.
You know, but I don't want to do this.
But that was after. That was after all of that. You know what I mean? Like, we remember the shot, him not taking the shots in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of criticism that came each of those games.
Rightfully so.
Each of those games. And then right after the series was over and they get knocked out, Doc Rivers is asked,
"Can you win it?" You be Doc.
Yeah.
Doc, can you win a championship with Ben Simmons as your point guard?
I don't think so. I mean, maybe, probably not.
You know what he said? He goes, you know what? He goes, I don't know. That was his answer. I don't
exactly.
know.
Exactly. He hemmed and hawed.
Which is code for probably not.
Yes, exactly.
Which would piss me off as well.
And then he walked it back, BT.
Yes.
4 months later.
Yes.
Four months later, he said, I was saying, I don't know, because I didn't want to answer the question right then.
Yeah, Doc was moonwalking on that. We know what you meant, Doc. Teak, I've got three. I think these are the three foundational questions that every Knicks fan needs to ask themselves, which will determine the path for the trade deadline
mm-hmm.
and the immediate future. You ready?
Go ahead.
Number one.
Yep.
Short answers. Number one, Tiki, you answer these. Do you believe that Julius Randle can be a central figure on a championship team?
A central figure?
Meaning, you know,
top three guy?
I'm thinking more top two.
No.
I agree. Okay, number two, would you pay Mitchell Robinson big money? Because eventually big money's coming his way, yes or no?
I think I would, yes.
I would be inclined to do so. Yeah. I'm kind of with you on that.
Yep.
He works.
I see him working.
Okay.
And he's only going to get better.
Okay. I'd like to see a little jump shot. If he ever gets that, he could be an all-star. Yeah. And we keep every time, he's shooting threes.
He had that little...
Everything is a dunk.
He had that little scoop in the first...
Yeah, oh, that little scoop off the window. Yeah, I've never seen him with that shot. I did see that. All right, number three. And this is probably the real needle tilter.
Go ahead.
You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe R.J. Barrett can be a consistent all-star?
Yes.
Consistent?
Yes, I do.
I don't.
I do.
I don't.
I do.
I don't.
I'm playing into the... Consistent. He's 21...
Consistent.
I'm saying yes.
Now, I don't mean a guy who makes three all-star, you know, like John Starks made, Oak made it. I'm talking about a guy who makes nine all-star teams.
You mean a guy?
A real all-star.
A guy who's so good that you don't even think about
it.
He's an
all-star every year.
He's an all-star. Borderline. That's borderline.
No, I'm not saying I don't think he can make one or two.
That's a solid maybe then.
I'm not accepting a solid maybe. I need a yes or a no.
Then I would go no.
Yeah, and so would I. And two of those three incredibly pressing and important questions about the – and even the one about Mitchell Robinson, you can make a case, well, he's injury prone, mm-hmm. he has no outside shot. You can even make a case that maybe that would be a no. You and I happen to think that he's worth some money because we like his upside and he's gotten better this year, but those are the three questions. Maybe I'm missing one, and maybe you want to throw is Thibs the right coach ultimately? But to me, those are the three most important questions.
Yeah, but if you get rid of Mitchell Robinson, that your size is just fully compromised.
That's true. I get it.
Fully compromised.
I get it. 877-337-6666. Tiki and Tierney up until 2 on the fan. That is Carter Roberts just getting going. 3 more hours to roll with here.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.